Welcome to the April 7th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34, and the sermon is entitled The Gift of Remembrance, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
How many of us truly believe that Jesus Christ is the only hope that we have? Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to set a little bit of the table, if you will, for us. Normally, we would continue on with our message in 2 Peter. And I want you to know that 2 Peter will continue, but it will continue next week, and it will take us through the month of April. So if you are waiting on that sermon, you're not going to get that sermon today. But we're going to go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and I would ask that you would open your Bibles there if you have them. As we approach the table, I don't know about you, but I grew up in a place and in a church that recognized and celebrated the Lord's Supper every month. The first Sunday of every month, we celebrated the Lord's Supper. Moving into the Baptist denomination, we celebrate it once a quarter, and it falls on this day, and it falls on the Sunday after Easter, which I'm so thankful for. But as we come to that table, I want to make sure that we come all on the same terms, all understanding why we do this. It's important to me that I've devoted one sermon out of these four times, one sermon, particularly on the Lord's Supper every time that we gather. And this is that Sunday that I want to join our hearts and unite our minds and our hearts together as we approach the table. There are so many things that you can do to remember people. I don't know about you, but when I think about myself, there are times that we remember people by keeping something that belonged to them. Maybe it's a piece of furniture or a piece of clothing or a piece of jewelry that reminds you of somebody you lost. And you keep that in order that you may remember how important they were in your life. Maybe that you donate, that you have a means and a way of donating in honor or a memory of someone that you love so much. And those are great ways to remember people. There are people that plant trees. There are people that cook their loved one's favorite recipe in order to remember, and they invite the family together. And there's so many ways that we can remember those people that we loved and that have gone on. There are people that visit the grave of their loved ones years and years and years after to remember them. And I'm thankful that in all those ways that we have our own ways and our own opportunities in order to remember those people that we love. Now, me personally, the best way that you can remember somebody, and I'm not trying to point a finger or preach, is to go spend time with them before they're gone. And I want to challenge you as believers. We have some godly people and godly families, and even your families. Make sure that we aren't neglecting them while they are here. We have a responsibility to our own families, but also to our own church family, to take care and to spend time long before they're gone. So I challenge us in those aspects. And as we come to the Lord's table, I come knowing that, because that's what God has put on my heart in this message today as I approach His table. I remember the Last Supper with the disciples as Jesus spent time with those that He loved, telling them, I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to be dying and surrendering my life for your sin and for the sin of the world. I will be doing that. And in that moment that we celebrated last week, that Easter moment, the trials and the crucifixions and the leading to His death, all of those that He loved and He invested and He spent time with them, those men scattered. So today, we come to a very important table. And I'm grateful that in my home, and I'm speaking for my home, that in this season of our lives, even though I have two teenage boys and life is crazy busy, one of the most important times in the life of my family is when we sit at the same table and we share a meal. And I hope that my almost 16-year-old boy, he'll be 16 tomorrow, I hope my 16-year-old son and my 14-year-old son, they understand and they'll look back on those times that we had conversation and that mom and dad asked how their day was and showed how they care. And that supper time is very important to me. If you call me during my supper time, I probably will not answer. It's that important. Now, you leave me a message, I'll call you back, okay? But I think so much of that time. Well, church family, once every quarter, we come to the table which we consider the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table together. And I don't want to give the impression that we tack it on or we hurriedly make it through it. Every now and then, we must slow down and enjoy the time and enjoy the meaning of the Lord's Supper together. And that's what today is about. Today is not about you. Today is about remembering what Jesus has done for every single one of us. Amen. And so in doing so, the best way to gather around the table is to look at Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 is where we're going to be at today. And the gift of remembrance as we come to the table and as we gather together, I'm going to start with verse number 17 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 17. Here's what Paul writes to the church at Corinth. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. The first point that we gather around the table today and remember the work of Christ for us is this, that we remember to come together. There are five times in this scripture that we're going to read today, that Paul uses two words, come together, come together, come together. And here is the reminder of that. The church needs to be together. Amen? Sunday mornings are sacred, not just because I'm a pastor, but because I am a believer and I am a worshiper of Jesus Christ. Make Sunday mornings sacred and important in the life of your family. Because we come together every Sunday morning to remember the work of Christ. There is this phrase that is used five times throughout these verses is a reminder that the church in this day had and needed one another. And I think the church in 2024 has lost that. Lost the importance that they need fellow brothers and sisters, that they need one another. And so as we sit at the Lord's table today, the first thing I want you to see is that, yes, we need Jesus, but we need one another as well. We need to come together. There may be somebody that you know or in your family or that you work with say, I don't need church. I want you to show them this scripture. We need to come together. In doing so, we need to realize that church was very different in this day. Church was held in the homes of those that were believers. And usually it was held in those with bigger homes or the wealthier believers in the church. And so when they came together, they would enjoy meals together. But here is the problem. The Lord's Supper has lost its power. Look at verse number 17 again. Paul writes this. Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Usually when Paul is correcting a church, he starts out with the good and he sprinkles in what they need to change. I actually learned that in some leadership classes. When you are trying to get the best out of somebody, you commend what they are doing good and then you move to correction. Commend, then correct. But Paul jumps straight into correction, and here's what he says. You are not gathering for the right reason. I don't even have a word of praise, of honor to give to you. You're gathering for the wrong reason. Now, I don't want you to make a sound, but I want you to ponder this question. Can the church of today gather for the wrong reason? I told you not to make a sound, but you can nod your head, okay? I'm grateful that we have a church that has wonderful kids programs and ministries and all the galore to offer your family. I'm grateful that we have wonderful music programs and a wonderful church family and worship. But listen, we are here for Jesus. When we come together, it must be for the right reason. And here is the promise through the book of Matthew, where two or three are gathered in His name, Jesus is there. And so knowing that this morning, I believe there are hundreds here and there are people watching live stream, but I believe the invited guest of the day is Jesus Christ. But that just can't happen once a quarter, church. Jesus Christ should be the invited guest every day into your home and into your life, not just the life of the church. We're thankful that Jesus is present, but as you sit around your own tables, if two or three are gathered that are believers and they gather in His name, Jesus is there. Jesus joins me at my dinner table. And I can say that today because my family, we are believers. But today at His table, we are reminded that we need to come together, but the center of the focus is not us. The center is Jesus. And I want you to know that this controversy is going on in the Corinthian church. Controversy in church. Say it ain't so. Here's what I know about God, and here's what I'm thankful for the Lord, that He can bring people that are different and unite us in Jesus. We're not going to agree on everything. But here's what I want you to see, what Paul's reminder is. Continue to come together. Even though you're doing it wrong and even though you're not doing it right, you need to fix it together. The answer is not run away or leave or go start your own church or go to another one. Fix what is wrong. And that is the message of Paul. You need to fix it. The man that stands before you today is not perfect. I will make mistakes. But I also look at hundreds of others that will make mistakes as well. But here's what we cannot mistake. Jesus Christ needs to be the reason and the center of why we are here. When we remember to come together, we are promising one another by our presence that we are there for you. We are promising God that we are here to worship. And as Paul gripes against this church and he's getting ready to pick apart what they are doing wrong, there are many things that can separate us in our thinking, in our theology, in our business. Satan wants to separate us. But what must bring us together every time we come is Jesus. That is why we are here. The Lord's Supper... is one thing that as we gather, we should gather knowing that we are celebrating what Christ has done for us. Amen? Amen. There's a second point. Look at verse number 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. These are hard words. And now, remember, these words are written to a church. They are written to believers. And the second point is this, that we must remember that it is the Lord's Supper. It is the Lord's Supper why we gather. When we gather together, usually it is in the home of a wealthier one as they would back in the day, and they would share that meal and they would tack on the Lord's Supper afterward. I'm going to put it in Baptist terms. I'm not trying to take away from the Word of God. Don't get mad at me. But I'm going to put it in terms you understand. They got together. They all brought a covered dish. Those who got there early went ahead and ate. The ones that got there late didn't eat because they got there late. And so Paul is getting on them for two things. He says, when you gather together, when you come together and you eat together and you fellowship together, here's the issue. There are people in your midst that are still hungry, and there are people in your midst that are drunken. And then on the end of this meal, you want to tack on the Lord's Supper to make you think you've done something good and godly and religious. And he says, shall I praise you for that? I will not praise you for that. You are not gathering for the Lord's Supper. These are harsh words. Look at verse number 21 with me. It says this, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. Do you see that? They've made it their own. They're not there for the Lord. They're doing what they want. They're eating what they want. The ones that come early, they are gluttonous. They have overeaten. They have put themselves before others. They have left out those who need to eat, and there are those that are hungry. And then, on top of that, there are people that are drunk. You've made a mockery of it. And Paul says this, there is absolutely nothing I can praise you for. When these rhetorical questions are asked, what are you doing? What are you doing? Look at verse number 22. What? I'd love to see Paul's face when he said that. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in, or despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Those rhetorical questions Paul asked to make a point to those believers in Corinth that they were not celebrating the Lord's Supper for the right reasons. They have made it their own, and they have basically taken the meaning of it and thrown it out the window. They're gathering for fellowship. They're gathering for fun. They're gathering to have a good time. And Jesus is not honored in that. And so here is the warning to the church. When we take the Lord's Supper, we cannot make a mockery of it. We cannot make it our own. We must remember the meaning behind it. And I'm not here to argue how often we should take it. Now listen, I'm going to be honest. In this sanctuary, there are people that don't like these things. If you come to the Lord's table and say, I don't like the way we do communion, you're not going to get the... It's best to just get up and go. Your heart's not in the right place. If we pass the plates, there are going to be people that say, oh, it takes too long to pass the plates. There's too many people. I'm not coming on the Sunday that we do the Lord's Supper. I'm going to use Paul's words. What? The Lord's Supper is not for our convenience. If it takes too long or you don't like it, you come to His table. It is to remember Him. No matter how it is celebrated, you come for Jesus. And so you may not like the way I do communion or we do communion here. I'm sorry. But I want you to know this. Jesus is the reason why we do it, not you or not me. So today, when we approach the Lord's Supper, we've got to be careful. And here's what the Lord has taught me in Paul's words when he says, what? And I can't pray for it. The people in their own thinking, in their own wisdom, in their own sin have messed it up. They have made a mockery. What sins were present? The first sin, and I'm going to be honest here, was gluttony. There were people that were overeating there. Gluttony has messed up the Lord's Supper, and gluttony is still a sin today. loving one another. They filled their own bellies. They didn't care about the next one. They didn't care about the next person if they had something to eat or not. They worried about themselves. Mike Fitzgerald taught me this from this church. At any function, you eat last. I will always eat last, and I'll park the furthest away. Drunkenness. Yes, they would have wine in this day. And they would get to the point which the Bible labels them drunken, which is a sin. Jeffrey's wisdom, Jeffrey's advice is do not touch it, because everyone that touches it, nothing good comes from it. But just because you don't overeat, and just because you love your brother, and just because you don't get drunk, does that make you okay? No. If you approach the Lord's Supper with the wrong attitude and the wrong desire, you are approaching it unworthily. You're making a mockery of it. I'm thankful that we gather to celebrate once a quarter. Growing up, I celebrated once a month. Some people celebrate the Lord's Supper every week. I don't have the right answer for you. I think if you celebrate it every week, it will lose its meaning. To each their own. I'm just speaking about my heart. But as we approach today, remember, this is not about you and it's not about me. But four times as we approach the supper today, we celebrate it. It is about Jesus and nothing more. Look at verses 23 through 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. The third point today is this: remember the reason that you come to the table. It is directly from the Lord. And Paul says this, I received this from the Lord. And I believe that was directly. But it points back to the last supper that Jesus had with his disciples in the upper room. Jesus would take bread and he would do a couple of things. The first thing he would do is he would give thanks for it. He gave thanks for that bread. Here's my advice to you. Every meal you sit down, bow your head and give thanks to God for. But especially when you come to the Lord's table, give thanks for what he has done for you. He took your place. He took your sin debt. He took your spot on the cross. He took your death. And he went to a cross for every one of us. And so today, we understand that as we are thankful, we approach that table with a thankful heart and a thankful attitude, and we receive it with thanksgiving. The second thing he did is he broke it. He broke it. Now, the body, the physical body of Jesus, not one bone on his body was broken. Now, here's what they would do. As they would crucify him, people that were crucified, in this time, they would come out and they would break their legs. They would take a piece of steel of a shaft or of a weapon and just break the lower parts of their legs so they would fall and suffocate faster. So it would kill them quicker. But to Jesus, they did not do that. Read your Bibles, you will see that to Jesus they did. They took the spear and instead of hitting him, they thrust it into his side to make sure he was dead. But not a bone of his body was broken. But his physical body was broken. Not only by weapons and not only by the cat of nine tails, not only by those army soldiers, but it was broken by your sin and my sin. As he bore that, it was for you and it was for me. His body was broken. And so as he takes that bread and he breaks it, it is symbolizing that gift of forgiveness that he was about to offer by taking the sin of the world upon him. Point number three, in verse number 24, here's what it says. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He offered the greatest gift to the world. Take it. This morning, as we approach the table and we're getting ready to share the elements together, you're going to have to take that wafer out of the package. You're going to have to take it. And as you take it, do so knowing that it is the greatest gift that we can receive. Jesus Christ, His body, His blood shed, His body laid down in our place for the opportunity that by faith we can receive the gift of God, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. The cup in verse number 25 symbolizes the blood of Jesus that is poured out for the sin of the world. And this would bring in and usher in the new covenant of salvation through Jesus Christ. So this supper is to remember the significance of the death of Christ for the sin of the entire world. We must continue and we must carry out the Lord's Supper as this tells us to until He returns. So as long as you live and as long as you attend Clifford Baptist Church, four times a year, we will celebrate this. Not out of duty, not because the denomination tells us to, but to remember what Christ has done. We must do this as often in remembrance of Him. The last point of the day comes from verses 27 through 34. Now, as I read this, look at yourself here. Look at yourself in the mirror here, okay? Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry for one another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Strong words of ending from Paul to the church at Corinth. Point number four is to remember that it is a sacred meal. What do these words mean or speak to you? Unworthily, guilty, examining, damnation, and judge. When we read those words, we should be reminded of how we approach the Lord's table. It brings to mind that as we approach it, we are approaching a holy meal, but we are also approaching a holy God. And in doing so, we cannot approach it unworthily. And so today, like the Corinthians, the warning is this: there cannot be the spirit that is there that is taking this and make a mockery of it, that is not taking the name of Jesus and making a mockery of it, not taking sin and making a mockery of it. It's realizing that as you approach the table, you approach God Almighty. You approach knowing that through Jesus, your sins are forgiven. You are reminded that the Savior took your place and my place. And as He surrendered His life, He took our sin. And He offered forgiveness for those who will receive. Today, in receiving the Lord's Supper unworthily, we must heed the warning of Scripture. Listen, this is God's Word. This is not Jeffrey. This is not the Baptist Church. This is not Clifford. This is God. This is His Word. And this is the warning. If you come to the Lord's table with unforgiven sin, unrepentant sin, a heart that is harboring unrepented things, feelings against other people, we are told to make those things right before you come. It is not my job to judge you. It is your job to approach the table and to look at yourself and to approach it worthily as you have been forgiven through Christ Jesus. Forgiveness is granted through Christ, but judgment is promised if we come unworthily. And that is Scripture. So today, we come to the Lord's Supper. And we do so to remember. We do so to remember what Jesus did for every single person and every single sin of the world, to offer forgiveness that whosoever will come, will receive. Today, that could be you. There's one little piece of verse of Scripture that I want to close on. And it's verse number 33 and 34. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry for one for another. Here's what that says. Remember, they were eating as they came, and they were filling up as they came, and the food was running out, and people were hungry. The message is this: when you come together, wait for one another. Wait. I'm going to tell you how Jeffrey is. Jeffrey is not a patient man. But what God has reminded is that I had the opportunity, the Lord Jesus waited for me. Waited for me. He went to the cross, and there were years of my life that I did not surrender. And he waited. This morning, as we give an invitation to Jesus, don't you dare wait too long. You're not promised the next breath or the next moment of your life. And here's what I want to tell you. Jesus died for you. If you know it here, it's one thing. To know it here is another thing. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today I invite you to come. I'm not waiting on you. Jesus is. Jesus waits for you to come and to receive the forgiveness that He offers to everyone who comes by faith to Him in a relationship. Christian, brother, sister, what is this challenge to the church? I looked at this church and I said, man, I may not have a job after this sermon. But here's what I want you to know. The truth of God calls me to change the things that I'm not doing right in order to align with the Word of God. And that's what Paul was calling the church to do. And that's what I'm calling the church to do today. Through the Word of God, if you are approaching wrong, or if you are out of order, if you're doing things wrong, we've got to get it right. The truth of God is the reason that we gather here today. Today, I pray that we can center our hearts now as we come to the table and come to this moment of invitation on that truth. Will you bow with me? Father God, Lord, today, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to share your holy word. And Lord, the warning of the word of God this morning is not an easy thing to hear or process or even live out. Lord, today, as we examine ourselves, the measuring stick is not the church or not another Christian. It's not the pastor. The measuring stick is Christ. If we look throughout our life and we don't see Christ there, decisions must be made. If we look across the actions of the church and Christ is not the center, things need to be changed. Lord, today as we approach your table, we look at you. And we're not worthy. But if we're believers, Jesus has made us worthy. This morning, if somebody needs him as Savior, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move and work on that heart and that life. Lord, for our Christian brothers and sisters, God, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would lead us and making the changes that are necessary within the body of believers to be great representatives of the truth of the gospel. God, we come before you now and pray that you will reveal in these moments the things that need to be changed before we sit at your table. Bless this invitation now, we pray.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.